The people of Afghanistan have seen turmoil and conflict for much of the past 40 years, driven by internal divisions and foreign interests. The Soviets invaded in the late 1970s. The Taliban rose to power in the 1990s. And then there was the US invasion in 2001. 20 years on, the Americans are still there, but President Biden has promised the mission will finally end on August the 31st. There have been elections and initiatives aimed at bringing peace and stability to Afghanistan, but without success. After years of trying to facilitate political reconciliation between the Taliban, the Afghan government, the United States and other countries, the US signed an agreement with the Taliban in Doha to withdraw its troops. In exchange, the Taliban agreed not to support any other armed groups or attack US forces or their allies. But after years of conflict, where civilians were often the victims, are the different sides within Afghanistan ready to move forward?
We've been quite flexible and also tolerant since the start of the talks. We have a new generation of Afghans who has never experienced the Taliban regime. So we need to be adaptable to this new young generation of Afghans. Therefore, the sooner we stop fighting, the sooner we concentrate in focus in reaching a deal where the international community is eagerly waiting for us Afghans to work together and to reach a compromise.
With US troops gone by the end of August, Afghanistan's affairs will have to be solved internally. Can they overcome the wounds left by years of disagreement and sectarian division? After months of intra-Afghan talks, have they built trust?
About this taking of 193 districts that we have taken during the past 8 months, and it's not by military force. Their forces, the Kabul administration forces, have joined us because they are fed up with the fighting and also the slow progress in the peace process. But we are restraining ourselves, not taking.
Once again, both sides met at the negotiation table in Doha, and that's where we caught up with the chief of the High Council for National Reconciliation, Abdullah Abdullah, talks to Al Jazeera.
Dr. Abdullah Abdullah, Chairman, High Council for National Reconciliation, thank you very much for talking to Al Jazeera.
You're welcome.
It's been 48 hours since you've been in Doha. We last met 10 months ago. Describe to us what has happened in the last 10 months and how closer are Afghans to finding peace?
I can say that to begin with, that it was a real 48 hours. And yes, from Afghanistan, a delegation from senior leadership of Afghanistan were here together with us. The idea behind this was that we came here and present our unified view in support of peace. Because the choice is not between one side overtaking militarily and then there will be peace. But it is between that scenario, which will not lead to peace, which will lead to the continuation of the war for many, many, many years to come, and further complication of the situation, the potential civil war and all of that, involvement of other countries, and between an inclusive, peaceful settlement. So we came here to present our unified view that this is the opportunity to seize it and to capitalize on it. And of course, peace will not materialize overnight, but to give them our assurance that we are serious, we are sincere. Meanwhile, to assure them that there will be no military solution. Insisting on a military solution will lead to the continuation of the suffering of our people. It was an opportunity to know one another better, because in the earlier situations or with the beginning, in the inauguration of the talks, we had only speeches from both sides. And then later on, there was an opportunity for me in Moscow, but that was a short opportunity. And in between, the delegations have met in different parts. So it was important for us. Now I have much, much more clarity in my mind. And also they should be very clear about our positions. And still I see there are a lot of common points which need to work on it.
Speaking to you, you're always an optimist about the success of dialogue and negotiations. But 10 months have passed in trying to know each other. The positions that both sides had for each other remain almost the same. What gives you hope that there is going to be peace? Because the situation on the ground seems to be pointing otherwise.
No, the reason for us coming here was not to present our position and say that take it or leave it. I'm not commenting on the attitude of our interlocutors, but this was not our attitude. We came here to tell them that peace is difficult, more difficult than war, and we are here with flexibility to find common grounds, and then move on towards a peaceful settlement. And also, if there is any illusion somewhere that one side can win militarily, we argued that this will not going to happen. Yes, of course, personally, as a person which now I have this responsibility, but apart from that, which has been grown during the war, in at least in the past 36 years of my life, I've been involved in the politics or fighting in Afghanistan one way or another.
Well, you were the defense minister in 1996?
I was the spokesperson for the defense minister, and later on I was the chief of staff for the minister of defense, and also spokesperson for the ministry of defense, and later on the ministry of foreign affairs. And earlier in the resistance in jihad against the Soviets, Soviet occupation of Afghanistan. To see the continuation of suffering of our people, to see the countries which we helped to achieve peace, like Tajikistan. Afghanistan was instrumental in achieving that settlement between two sides in Tajikistan. And to see them developed, and to see the opportunities which are there for the people of Afghanistan and for the region, and we cannot utilize it because of the continuation of the war. It is disappointing. One day more is one more missed opportunity. But it takes both sides. It cannot happen with the goodwill and intention of one side.
That's what I was going to come towards, because it takes two parties to reach peace. You say that you've presented the options, military solution is not viable, it will not result in peace. But the situation on the ground is that the Taliban are making advances. They've taken more than 200 out of the 400 districts in Afghanistan. They're surrounding population centers and provincial capitals. And they seem to have not moved from the demands, whether it was the release of prisoners, whether it was delisting from the UN list. So many people are left wondering, then, what is the point in talking? And including people from your side who have been asking this question, that, you know, we've been at the same place for the last 10 months.
Unfortunately, the negotiations, which the start of it was a good point, that the fact that we were here and we started negotiations after many, many years of fighting with one another, that was good. That is the good part. In the fact that the door for the negotiations is not shut at the moment, that's also important. In spite of the differences, in spite of wide gaps which exist between the views of both sides, since we think that peaceful settlement is much, much better option than the continuation of the war, we will continue to make these efforts. We will not say, okay, now no negotiations. The reality is that the war has intensified, the level of violence is intensively high, and the people are suffering on daily basis, days in and out. So in this sort of situation, to say, okay, because there is no significant progress, so we stop we stop talking to one another, that will not be the right option as well.
What about your Western partners and expectations from, because of the Afghan government has achieved what it has with the help of its Western allies? First, I would like you to touch upon the role of the United States, because the sentiment from amongst your team members is that they feel abandoned by the United States. It hasn't given the Afghan government the kind of support that it needed to establish peace, and they feel betrayed.
There are different feelings about it, but the fact of life is that they decided what they wanted to decide about. In the previous administration had made that decision, and the current administration continued on that basis, and the withdrawal will be completed in a few days' time, complete withdrawal of the troops. So that's a fact of life. But it's not like abandoning Afghanistan. That's also an opportunity, And that's also an opportunity not just for us, for the Taliban. If they want to be part of a system and work together for a peaceful settlement, that's the way forward. These opportunities will be there for them. Idea of delisting. The minute there is peaceful settlement, delisting will take place. But somewhat they think that it has to happen beforehand as conditions, because they think that this was promised to them. And according to Doha agreement between the Taliban and the United States, and the United States is also saying the Taliban have not fulfilled their promises. And I mentioned this, that this is between you and the United States, and we respected Doha agreement, and we supported this Doha agreement and cooperated with it. But we're not here to clarify. The United States has very valid points saying that Taliban have not implemented what they had promised to do. So these are the type of discussions that we were having. But the good thing was that we decided to continue at this level as well, while meanwhile instructing our negotiating teams to expedite their efforts, to find ways, innovative ways. If out of many agendas, we have only addressed four of them out of nearly 50 agenda items, only four is being addressed, and the war continues. That's not the pace that will get us there, because the war will create its own momentums.
Obviously, but it requires both sides to come together.
Sure.
And expedite the talks. It can't be a one-way street. Coming back to expectations from the West, speaking to diplomats who have been closely monitoring and are involved in the process that is taking place in Afghanistan, there was a sense that they felt that there needs to be a sobering of the reality on the ground on part of the Afghan government, which hasn't happened. There is still talk about, you know, within 3 months we're going to retake all the areas that have been taken by the Taliban. We will teach them a lesson and we will take them back to where they were. And that seems to be the rhetoric coming from Kabul as well. So as long as there is no real sense of realization that they have the momentum of the fighting behind them, they've taken that many areas, then there might be time to concede.
To concede to what? To concede to what?
The solution. Is that a viable option?
No, absolutely not. That will never happen. In the war, in the fighting, you will have upsets, you will have setbacks, you will have back and forth, which recently, because of the way that the withdrawal of the international troops took place, Taliban took advantage of that. Today, it's not just the army, it's the people which are resisting. Like, yes, of course, they saw the vacuum, they saw a gap, and then they took advantage of it. Now the people are resisting. Can one group in Afghanistan force its will upon the whole nation by force, through fighting? It will never happen. That's why I said that we came here to say that, look, from one side, there is an opportunity to have peaceful settlement. From the other side, if the thinking is that we will capture areas, district after district, and that will lead to us imposing a military solution. And that military solution, we want to get it through talks. That will not happen. We need to have inclusive, peaceful settlement. So rhetorics, one way or another, I'm not that much in favor of those rhetorics. The fact that the army's mission is not to say that okay, let's come and take us. They will talk according to their mission.
Now let me quote President Ashraf Ghani just a few weeks ago, saying that the U.S. decision to leave Afghanistan is a decision moment for the Taliban, the region, and Afghans themselves. The choice ahead is clear: coalesce around an acceptable end state in Afghanistan, or continue the dangerous power-grabbing alternative. Who is continuing on the path of the power-grabbing alternative? Because if you speak to the other side, they accuse the Afghan government. If you look at it from your perspective, it's the Taliban.
You mentioned earlier that they have captured so many districts in the past few weeks or months. What does that mean? What does that mean? When there is an opportunity for talks, why not to get seriously into the issues which are there, and find a way for solving it? So it's very clear what is being said, and also the situation is very clear.
On the ground in Afghanistan, you've been seeing all of the concerns which have been raised by the international community, the articles being put forth and the research by think tanks, talking about timelines of the collapse of Kabul once again and the government is going to fall. Do you think that it is a realistic assessment? And how hopeful are you that the Afghan government, in its current shape and form, will be able to protect all of the hard-fought freedoms that the Afghan people have achieved in the last two decades?
So in the areas which are under the Taliban control at the moment, unfortunately, those freedoms, those rights which the people were enjoying in the achievements which were made has been reversed. That's also a fact of life. And the point is that in our side, what we presented in the past 48 hours was that we have different opinions about the way of life, about the governance, and all of that. Can we get together while maintaining our views about human rights, women's rights, freedom of speech? They should have learned from Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera being here, his main headquarters being here, and that's what is going on when you talk about freedom of speech. So we have different opinions about these things. Can we find ways to not to fight for imposing our way of life upon the people, but to compete for it, to contest for it, through civilian means, through peaceful means? That's the whole thing. Taliban cannot convert the whole population of Afghanistan into Taliban. Talibanization of Afghanistan is not acceptable. Yes, of course, they feel at this moment that they have the upper hand militarily on the ground, and that will not last that way, I'm sure. I'm not talking about days and weeks, I'm talking about the course of time, because that's the lesson from our history. So the sooner we get to the other fact in reality of life, that you cannot impose your will upon the whole nation through military might, even if you have that opportunity, that should compel them, and also as I mentioned, we are ready to talk about.
But my question was, how confident are you that the Afghan government is going to be able to prevail, to protect those freedoms, and assure the Afghan people that it is here in the long run and it will continue to be there?
As I mentioned, if there is no peaceful settlement, unfortunately, the war will continue, and as a result of the war, things will change. Areas will go hand to hand. If you're talking about the survival of the state, I should say that yes. While the Islamic Republic, there is opposition, there are different groups which are not happy with our conduct, but they criticize us, they are unhappy. but at the same time, they agree with the principles. In the principle of a republic, one person, one vote, and certain other principles. If you're talking about the survival of the state, yes.
But how cohesive is that? Is that a coalition, so to speak, of people in Kabul? Because as you were coming here, we saw those differences once again. You weren't able to convince former President Karzai, Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, to come and join you in these talks with the Taliban, to convince the Taliban that there is no military solution.
On the principle of, I have no doubt, and you can ask them, on that one principle, that there is no military solution, they have given their messages. You referred to former President Karzai, you referred to Mr. Gulbuddin Hekmatyar. They all have said this. They all have stated that. And in the discussions which were going on there in Kabul as well, there were these issues. But meanwhile, it was expected. I'm not saying that it was a clear promise. It was expected that some other senior leaders of Taliban also come from Pakistan, those who are based in Pakistan. And that was one of the main reasons that those leaders didn't participate. But talking about former President Karzai, he accompanied me up to the airport, and his support, and he spoke before our departure. So that on the issue of peaceful settlement, I don't think that those who have not participated, that's because they don't believe in it, or they believe that there is a military solution.
The message
is very clear.
Very quickly, we need to discuss about what is happening in the region as well. The Taliban have not just taken areas inside Afghanistan, they've taken at least 4 major border crossings into Afghanistan. Again, we're seeing a lot of rhetoric, you're not a man who supports rhetoric, from Kabul about how they're being supported from outside powers and how they're getting support. What is the role that the region is playing, and are you hopeful that there's a positive role that can be played by regional powers in Afghanistan?
I will be very brief. There is one role that the region can play, and it will be in their legitimate interest. That's support for peaceful settlement, the inclusive peaceful settlement. Okay, different attitudes, there's different conducts. No time to comment on them, but there's only one way forward to support inclusive peaceful settlement. This will be in the interest of the region. 3 days back, there was a conference in Tashkent. How the ideas of those conferences like that? That conference was on connectivity, railway between from Central Asia to Pakistan, from Uzbekistan to Pakistan through Afghanistan, and other connectivity projects, which it was an important event. How those ideas will materialize without peace in Afghanistan?
You have been riding on a lot of hope from the Afghan people. Ever since these talks started, this was a unique opportunity in 2 decades that Afghans finally are sitting across the table with Afghans. This is going to be looked back by people in history. They're going to say this is a pivotal moment where peace could have been achieved in Afghanistan. How hopeful are you that those expectations are going to be met and you're going to be able to convince the other side that peace is the only solution, and without it, there is going to be further suffering of the Afghan people?
One thing I can say in this respect, that this is the wish of the absolute majority of the people of Afghanistan. And this is the only way forward, which is in the interest of the Afghan people, in high interest of our country. One thing which I can assure our countrymen, men and women, that I will not spare any moment to make efforts. If there is a small opportunity, we need to capitalize on it. As guarantee that all these efforts will produce the same results that the people are expecting, even in the past 10 months, part of our population are disappointed why these things have not happened. One thing which I can say is that I'll spare no effort in trying to build consensus around it and move forward and make sure that no opportunity is missed.
Dr. Abdullah Abdullah, Chairman, Howe Council for National Reconciliation, thank you very much for talking to Al Jazeera.
Thank you.